Hello and welcome to the Muni Lowdown. My name is Paul Graves and I'm the managing editor for Debtwire Municipals. Today's podcast title is Tariff Tensions. I'm joined by our curation editor, Stephanie Fagnani, and Cooper Howard, fixed income strategist at Charles Schwab. We'll be discussing the impact of federal policy shifts on the municipal market. Stephanie, welcome back to the podcast.
Good morning, Paul. Hi, Cooper.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Paul. Thank you.
And Cooper, welcome to the podcast. And I'd like to make it clear to everyone, we are recording on the morning of Wednesday, April 9th. I think that's really important to say for this particular podcast because things seem to be very fluid on this topic we're going to be engaging in today. Cooper, maybe you could take a minute just to give everybody your background.
Well, of course. Well, thank you, Paul, for having me on. Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning to everybody listening. My background is I'm a municipal bond strategist here at Charles Schwab. And really what that role was created out of is Charles Schwab himself saw the need for advice for our investors. And so it was originally created to kind of cut through all of the noise of what's happening in the markets, what's happening in the media, and provide advice about what clients should ultimately be doing. So my area of expertise, Paul and Stephanie, is the municipal bond market. But as a result, you really have to be understanding of what's happening in the fixed income market and then the broader economy.
So Stephanie, this is why I like having smart people on the podcast, because we really need Cooper today and on this particular topic. Cooper, I'm going to start you with this. What are you advising your muni clients to do right now? Put the money under a mattress? Panic?
You know, no, not at all. I think that it is definitely a very fluid situation, and we're getting new headlines coming out every day and a lot of uncertainty, a lot of volatility, and that can be concerning to a lot of clients and a lot of investors. But really what I think makes sense in this environment is to take a defensive approach, take a little bit more of a cautious approach, and that's on two fronts. That's on a credit front. That's also on a duration front. So duration is really just a measure of where on the yield curve do you invest. And on the credit front, we're advising clients to stay with higher rated investments. In the municipal bond market, that's not too difficult because about 7 out of 10 of the munis in a broad index, the Bloomberg Municipal Bond Index, are either AAA rated or AA rated. So if they're in some sort of an investment that tracks a index, probably it's going to be geared towards higher rated investments. The second thing that we're advising clients to do or suggesting that they do is stick to that benchmark duration. Right now, over the past 2 days, we've actually seen municipal bond yields shoot up quite significantly. They've increased the most going all the way back to the COVID crisis. So if we think back to the COVID crisis, obviously that was a very scary time in the economy, in the world, and the municipal bond market. Everybody thought that the muni market was going to be shutting down or the economy was going to be shutting down. That was going to cause a raft of defaults and really create a lot of panic and a lot of concern. As a result, you saw a municipal bond yield shoot up. Part of that was also technical factors, the supply and demand, a lot of selling pressure. Fast forward to where we are today, we're also seeing a significant amount of selling pressure. And that's what's caused really a significant increase in municipal bond yields. But the bright side of that, Paul and Stephanie, or I should say the good side of that, is that higher yields present an opportunity to investors. Longer term, over time, the largest contributor of your total return in a fixed income investment is that coupon. So given that we're starting to see higher yields, that bodes well going forward for total returns. Also, yes, we have seen higher yields in treasuries, but we've also seen higher high yields on municipal bonds. So one of the metrics, Paul and Stephanie, that we like to commonly follow, and if you follow the muni market, it's a pretty simple metric. It's the MOB spread or the muni to treasury ratio, it's sometimes referred to. And it's just the yield on a municipal bond, a AAA rated muni, compared to that of a treasury. And like you said, we're recording this as the morning of the 9th, and that's for a 10-year muni to treasury. That's about 85%. That's the highest that we've seen in 2+ years. So we think that now presents a relatively attractive opportunity for higher rated municipal bonds.
What we've been hearing from people we talk to in the market, there's probably a couple of issues that come into play. One has been talk about tax exemption and what could happen there. But the other one has been tariffs and how tariffs could impact the market and certain sectors. And why don't we just start with big picture? From your perspective, does where we are with tariffs right now create any questions to you in terms of broadly for the municipal market?
If we start broadly, a lot of what's going on with tariffs is just confusion. And I think that that's filtering down into the treasury market and then trickling down into our muni market. And the question that the market's really trying to debate in their head, is this a negotiating tactic? Is this to try to bring back manufacturing to the Midwest or to onshore some manufacturing? Is this to try to raise tax revenues? And that hasn't necessarily been that clear to the market. So I think that's why you're seeing a lot of this volatility, and that trickles down into the muni market. I don't necessarily think that this is a credit concern. There are certain credits, Paul, Stephanie, within the municipal bond market that are likely going to be hit a little bit harder because of all this uncertainty, all this tariff policy, concerns about imports and exports and trade. But for the broad muni market, I don't see it as much of a credit impact. Again, there are going to be certain sectors, so I don't want to brush it aside or brush it off. But going forward, we think that most municipalities, they are in a strong standpoint to kind of manage through this. Again, if I go back to the COVID era, we saw tax revenue surge quite a bit. Fiscal aid was provided to state and local governments. So they really used that to build up their liquidity positions, build up their rainy day funds, and are in a stronger standpoint than where they were entering it. So if we do see a slowdown in the economy, and I think that odds of a recession have definitely increased, a lot more strategists such as myself and others are seeing higher probabilities of a recession come into play. If that comes to fruition, then yes, we would expect to start to see tax revenues for certain sectors slow a little bit. But the good news is that because of those higher liquidity positions, that stronger footing that municipalities are standing on today, they could tap into those liquidity positions to help offset some of those slowdowns in revenues.
So Cooper, you just mentioned that there would be some sectors potentially at greater risk. Can you name a few of those sectors that come to mind?
That's a great question, Stephanie, because I want to distinguish between kind of tariffs and then other policies that might be coming down the pipeline. Paul, you mentioned, yes, after the past week, a lot has really been focused, and a lot have been focused really on tariffs. But prior to a week ago, there was a lot of other policies that were being proposed. Those are still on the table. If we look at what could be impacted by tariffs, really, I think that it's types of issuers that have revenue sources that are highly dependent on economic activity. So for example, if they're very dependent on sales tax revenues and they don't have strong liquidity positions, that would be a little bit more concerning. Issuers like ports, if there's a full-blown trade war and that begins to escalate even more than where we are at today, I would expect to see a slowdown in trade. That necessarily wouldn't be a positive for issuers like that. So that's more on the tariff side of things, Stephanie. So then if we look at other policies that are coming down the pipeline, Stephanie, I think those are things that could potentially be a negative towards issuers like higher education, for example, so private higher education. There have been proposals on the table as far as potentially pulling back on grant funding. There's been a proposal seeing what happens with tax law changes. Maybe the tax on endowments gets increased. So that would also be a potential headwind. But I want to be clear, we don't believe that you should throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are certain sectors in the higher education space that will be able to manage through this, do have relatively attractive valuations in terms of yields. So even though, yes, the whole sector as a whole might be facing headwinds going forward, there are definitely going to be issuers that can manage through it appropriately.
So Cooper, I wanted to circle back and focus in on higher ed for a second. There are federal policy issues, but it's a little different than ports, because there are other things going on. Like, for example, yesterday, there was a story that came out about Cornell, for example, potentially losing around $800 million. That stood out to me because I'm a Cornell grad. So, of course, me and all my friends were looking at that. And how do you guys manage the fact that, all right, there might be these policy initiatives that are coming into play, but they may not necessarily be around long term? Like, we don't know what's going to happen at the midterm with the election. We don't know what's going to happen at the next election. Do you see these higher ed issues as something that these schools can weather as long as it's short term? Or would your view change if it turns out that this is something that, well, they might have to deal with for the next 5 to 10 years?
That's another great question, Paul. And I think that's why the way I like to look at higher education, the sector as a whole, is really a bifurcated market. So if you look at public versus private, those are two different animals, even though they're both in the higher education space. Public tends to rely more on state funding. private tend to have a high dependence on tuitions and students. Then let's focus in on to the private higher education, because I think that's where potentially higher risk is. And what I would do is break it between, further bifurcate it between higher rated education, higher ed, and then lower rated higher education. And I think, Paul, Stephanie, really the risk is those lower rated private higher education issuers. Those are going to be the ones that already are highly dependent on student tuition. Also, if there's a higher dependence on foreign student tuition, I think that raises an additional concern given immigration policies that might be coming down the pipeline. And then from there, those lower rated higher education institutions are going to be ones that they are lower rated because, generally speaking, they don't have strong liquidity positions or as strong of liquidity positions or more volatile revenue sources. So that's more of where I think the risk of these policies coming down to play or coming down the pipeline could be. So that'd be where I'd be a little bit more cautious if I were an investor. But again, I think that's another thing that, if we harken back to what is happening with tariffs, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of uncertainty also with these policies that might be coming to fruition. Will they be around for only a few years? Will the new administration, whatever that looks like, change some of these? So I think that that creates a lot of concern, a lot of difficulty for a client, for an investor. And that's where credit research is an important piece. Understanding, do they have the finances to weather through this, or is it materially going to change their outlook and create a significant pullback on their revenues?
And Cooper, in keeping with the theme of how a particular credit in a certain sector might weather these storms, you know, maybe when talking about like a mass transit credit or a utility credit, would you say, are there any sort of attributes that a credit needs to possess now that might help it keep its credit quality intact and potentially save it from being downgraded even in the face of these kinds of challenges?
One of the reasons that I enjoy the municipal bond market is it's not a homogenous market. I mean, we can talk about credits like local general obligation bonds, and that's a very different type of an issuer than, say, a transportation utility or transportation issuer or utility district, for example. And there's a couple of things that I think are important from a credit fundamental. And I know there are obviously credit analysts that get much deeper into the weeds and all of the metrics that come into play. But if we look at kind of what is most important, I think one of the things that's very important is what are the demographics of the area? At the end of the day, most municipalities are backed by some sort of tax revenue, some sort of usage fees. And is there going to be something that, if they can they continue to increase taxes, increase those usage fees on residents of that area? So I think that that's one important factor of it. The second important factor is the essentiality of it. This is something that I tie into the demographics. So how essential is that issuer to the area or to the economy as a whole? Again, if it's something to where it's highly essential, it's likely that you might see some state backing and some state support to it. As an example, I'd highlight the MTA, for example. Coming out of COVID, obviously the MTA was facing significant pressure because everyone was staying at home. Nobody was riding the subway, the buses, mass transit. The state stepped in, the city stepped in because of the essentiality of the MTA and really helped provide a lot of state tax dollars to kind of help them weather the storm. So I think that that's another piece that is important to look at from a credit perspective.
Cooper, I want you to know that I think you have a potential second career as a therapist. Your voice is very soothing. You make things seem very calm because I know Schwab does not believe that panic is an investment strategy, but me personally, if I had here, I might have set it on fire trying to just navigate all of this stuff. And in saying all of that, last question for you. What are the metrics, data points, or what kind of information are you looking for as we navigate all these federal policy shifts and the implementation of different policies? What are you looking for that would give you a better sense of what's going on? Because I know everybody has questions.
Yeah, I think everybody does have questions. There isn't necessarily a data point in terms of a number that I'm following specifically or watching. Obviously, there's a lot of data points and numbers that I focus on every day. But one of the things is to just stay informed as far as what is ultimately happening, what truly is occurring in the market, what policies are actually coming to fruition, and what won't be coming into fruition. So a lot of what we're focusing on is getting information from multiple different sources, from multiple different strategists, from multiple different news outlets. So I think staying informed is something that's very important. If I were to look at one metric, though, oftentimes it's what's happening in the treasury market. I think that's a very important piece because it does flow down into what's happening in the municipal bond market. And then from there, it's trying to distinguish what types of policies could have an impact on different types of issuers. And again, I'd go back to the idea of we're not a homogenous market. So there are multiple different issuers. It's about a $4 trillion market spread across thousands of different issuers. Demographically, it's different. Regionally, it's different. So there are going to be different things that impact different types of issuers. So again, we do think that right now, munis do present an area of opportunity for high net worth investors, but it's important to know what you own.
And one follow-up on that point in terms of the market not being homogenous, is your view or is the view of Schwab the same when you look at high yield versus bonds that are investment grade?
You know, Paul, I love that you did not call it high yield municipal bonds, because in my view, municipal bonds and high yield municipal bonds really only share the name municipal bonds. They're really two different types of animals. If you look at the high yield municipal bond market, half of that market is either unrated. Also, a large proportion of it tends to be healthcare issuers, nursing home issuers, things like that. Those with significantly greater business risks. You also see some types of issuers that you wouldn't even think that they would be considered in the municipal bond market, if you will. So when we think of municipal bonds, we often think of, well, what's a general obligation that's backed by property taxes or taxes from that issuer? In the high yield municipal bond space, you could get an issuer that is trying to create electricity out of vegetable waste or something like that. I mean, those are where you get a lot more unique issuers, a lot of speculative issuers based off of land deals. So I think distinguishing between those two markets and not just thinking that we are in a homogenous market is the first point that I'd make. The second point that I'd make is looking at yields for high yield municipal bonds. We have seen spreads increase a little bit over the past week, but they're still historically low for the high yield space. So we don't think that valuations really make that much sense. And looking forward, if we do face a slowdown in the economy, increased odds of a recession, then that's the part of the market that we would expect to see a little bit more pressure.
Cooper, this conversation has brought me great comfort. I'm going to take my money from out of the mattress and put it back into the financial markets, all because of you. Seriously. Thank you so much, Cooper, and thank you, Stephanie, for a great discussion on federal policy issues and their potential effect on the municipal market.
Paul, thank you.
Shout out to our podcast producer, Anthony Phillips, who always makes sure that our mics sound right. And to our audience, I hope you found this podcast to be informative. Please support us by liking, sharing, or subscribing to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Until the next time, thanks for joining us on the Muni Lowdown.